Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it, thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And all I can say is, as always, it is a great word today. We are in Amos and Revelation, Psalms and Proverbs. And all I can say is, Amos and John are showing out. The Lord is using them in a mighty way to get our attention. What we are reading in Amos is the same thing that we could be reading today. It's as if he's speaking today. And one of the things that we are going to learn from Amos is what you hold so tight, you will lose. And what you love and open and let go will always come back. God loves us so much. He does not hold us hostage in our faith. Faith is the things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. God loves us with our condition. We're the ones that want to love with condition. I couldn't get to sleep last night. I was on Reddit reading this article, and it's, am I, you know, not so nice. And this dad wrote, you know, asked if he was in the wrong and if he was being a bottom, let's just put it that way. And majority said yes, some said no, that he was not. And what the situation was, the dad said he was a man of faith, or Christian, and that he had given an ultimatum to his daughter that she was not to date, to go out with her boyfriend. He says, he's quote unquote, the boyfriend was a scumbag. And so daughter was sneaking around anyway with the boyfriend, 19 years old, and got pregnant. She hid her pregnancy from her parents for 3 months. Now understand the threat the dad made to the daughter is, that if you see this guy, I'm going to kick you out. You're not going to have a place to live. Most basically, you will be homeless if you keep seeing this guy. Again, sneaking around, saw the guy, got pregnant. 19 years old. Barely 19 years old. And so she finally told her parents and said the reason why she didn't tell them was because she didn't want to get kicked out. But dad, because of his principles, he told her, you either give the baby up for adoption, or you gotta leave my house. You gotta basically tell me you're gonna give this baby up for adoption. You're 19, I want to ruin your life. Understand this is his only child that he had at 22. And when I was, and as the one of the comments was, I was able to take care of myself at her age. And I'm just being honest, we have not equipped our children to take care of themselves because we were forced as children to take care of ourselves, to stand up and to do things and to work hard. You know, we thought our parents were the most horrible folks in the world because we were basically told, you got to do this, that, and the other, and that was it. You didn't quibble, you didn't fuss, you didn't complain, you just did it. And so we thought we were mistreated. Believe me, we were not, but we thought we were. And so we were a lot more lenient on our children. We allowed them, some of them, to do a little bit more, a little less than what we had to do. And now we have children that are still living at home when they're older. Because not of their on ours, and because the market is not necessarily conducive to every child. And honestly, there's no reason why parents should kick kids out at 18 years old. An age does not make a child mature. I've heard too many times, well, they're 18, I'm living my life. Okay. So your kid is homeless, but you're living your life. So this man kicks out his 19-year-old pregnant daughter because my rules, my way or the highway. And he didn't want her to ruin her life with the baby. So the question was, am I wrong? Yes. If your child does not want to give up her baby and you haven't equipped her to live outside and you've made her into a sneaky girl. Because you're so stringent in everything that you become a parent wondering why your child is rebellious. Because you made them that way. You made them sneaky. You made them into liars. And you made them into people that don't want to do right. Because when they try to do right and come to you with everything, you shut them down and say, my way or the highway. And that's a scary thing. How many young women have been kicked out of their homes because they were young and pregnant? Some don't have a village to raise their child and to help them. I was blessed. My mom had a village. But to kick your kid out when they're not equipped, whether they lied, whether they didn't do right, is not right. That's my opinion. Think about that. Anyway, that was just something that I on my mind. What do we do? And if our God, our daddy God, treated us like some people treat their children, each other. Don't speak to brothers and sisters. Don't talk to mom and dad. Angry, full of just, I'm sick of them. What would Daddy God, and how would we feel if God decided to say, I'm sick of y'all. Don't pray. Don't call my name. Because I will not be there. As we get into Amos, we'll understand some things. Father God in heaven, we ask you to give us clarity of mind as we listen and study this word, oh God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my very humble heart be acceptable to you, oh God. For you are my strength and my redeemer. I am nothing, Father, without you in my life. I ask you, Lord God, if I've done anything in thought, word, or deed against your divine majesty, to please forgive me. In the mighty name of Christ Jesus, I would not want to read your word amiss. Let this word be done in context and understanding. Give me the words to say, O God. Remove me and replace me with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Again, Amos is a powerhouse. And when I say he's a powerhouse, he is a powerhouse prophet. He don't play. And again, in 10 words or less, real religion isn't just ritual, but treating people with justice. Treating people with justice. And this is what Amos says in Amos chapter 6 through chapter 7, verse 17. Woe to you who are at ease in Zion and trust in Mount Samaria, notable persons in the chief nation to whom the house of Israel comes. Go over to Chaldea and see, and from there go to Hamath the Great. Then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Are you better than these kingdoms? Or is their territory greater than your territory? Woe to you who put far off the day of doom, who cause the seat of violence to come near, who lie on the beds of ivory, stretch out on your couches, eat lambs from the flock, calves from the midst of the stall, who sing idly to the sound of stringed instruments, and invent for yourselves musical instruments like David, who drink wine from bowls, and anoint yourselves with the best ointment, but are not grieved for the afflictions of Joseph. Therefore they shall now go captive as the first of the captives, and those who recline at banquets shall be removed. In other words, I'm going after the rich. Don't think you're getting away with anything. Just because you have money don't mean that I won't go after you too. The Lord God is sworn by himself. The Lord God of hosts says, I abhor the pride of Jacob and hate his spouses. Therefore, I will deliver up the city and all that is in it. Then it shall come to pass that if 10 men remain in one house, they shall die. And when a relative of the dead with one who will burn the bodies picks up the body to take them out of the house, he will say to one inside the house, are they any more with you? Are there any more with you? Then someone will say none. And he will say, hold your tongue, for we dare not mention the name of the Lord. Y'all catch that? 10 folks are dead. God is there. If one is dead, God is there. Wherever you are, God is there. He's in the midst. I'll read it again, and maybe you'll catch it this time. It took me a minute to catch it myself, but I know that God is in the midst of everything. It says, and then it shall come to pass that if 10 men remain in one house, they shall die. And when a relative of the dead with one who will burn the bodies picks up the bodies to take them out of the house, he will say to one inside the house, are there any more with you? Then someone will say none. And he will say, hold your tongue, for we dare not mention the name of the Lord. For behold, the Lord gives a command. He will break the great house into bits and the little house into pieces. Do horses run on rocks? Does one plow there with oxen? Yet you have turned justice into gall and the fruit of righteousness into wormwood. You who rejoice over do Lodabar, who say, have we not taken Karnim for them ourselves by our own strength? Perverted justice. Folks shot in the street, in their cars, knees on folks. Then those that murder 2 people walk away. Those that murder the young walk away. But then God shows justice and says, you're not getting away. Everybody who thinks they're going to get away with something better understand everything. God sees it all. God sees your good. God sees your bad, and we done talked about it many times. God sees your ugly. And if you touch one of his anointed, back it up, because you're going to suffer. God is watching us. We can do nothing without God. And the word of God says, but behold, I will rise up a nation against you, O house of Israel, says the Lord God of hosts, and they will afflict you from the entrance of Hamath to the valley of Arabah. And what happened? The Babylonians came in, showed out, and did just what God says. Therefore, they shall now go captive us, the first of the captives, and those who recline at banquets shall be redeemed. In other words, you think you got it going on. I'll make you now tell me what you got going on. And only the redeemed of the Lord were able to do something. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel. Why? Because they stayed faithful to God. And then as we continue in Amos chapter 7, it says, thus the Lord God showed me, behold, he formed locust swarms at the beginning of the late crop. Indeed, it was the late crop after the king's mowing. And so it was when they had finished eating the grass of the land that I said, O Lord God, forgive, I pray. Oh, that Jacob may stand, for he is small. So the Lord relented concerning this. It shall not be, said the Lord. Thus the Lord God showed me, behold, the Lord God called for conflict by fire, and he consumed the great deep and devoured the territory. Then I said, what did we just have in California? Wildfires that devoured. Let's read that again. Thus the Lord God showed me, behold, the Lord God called for conflict by fire, and it consumed the great deep and devoured the territory. Then I said, O Lord God, cease, I pray. Oh, that Jacob may stand, for he is small. For the Lord relented concerning this, and also shall not be, said the Lord God. Thus he showed me, behold, the Lord stood on a wall made with a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not pass by them anymore. Places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. I will raise with the sword against the house of Jeroboam. Then Amarazai, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words, but thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive. And can I say this? What happened? And then he goes on to say, from their own land, then Amaraziah, excuse me, said to Amos, go, you seer, flee to the land of Judah. There eat bread and there prophesy, but never again prophesy at Bethel. For it is the king's sanctuary, and it is the royal residence. Then Amos answered and said to Amaraziah, I was no prophet, nor was I a son of a prophet, but I was a sheep breeder and a tender of sycamore fruit. Then the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said to me, go prophesy to my people Israel. Now therefore hear the word of the Lord. You say, do not prophesy against Israel, and do not spout against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus says the Lord, your wife shall be a harlot in the city. Your sons and daughters will fall by the sword. Your land shall be divided by a survey line. You shall die in a defiled land, and Israel shall surely be led away captive from its own land. Don't mess with God. And don't mess with his true prophets. Because they're not going to always tell you what you want to hear. They're going to tell you the truth. And the truth is what sets us free. And these are some life lessons from Amos chapter 6 and 7. It says in 7, 8, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not pass by them anymore. A plumb line pictures God's careful evaluation of the heart and behavior of his people. Sometimes he delivers his defiant people up to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved. 1 Corinthians 5 and 5. And I tell you what, we're going to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. First Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. And it says this. And we're going to go actually up to 4 so we get it in context. It says, when you are assembled in the name of our Lord Jesus, and I am with you in spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus, hand that one over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. And if we're talking about immoral churches, the immoral church member. Let's go back up to basically the beginning of chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians. And it says this. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and the kind of sexual immorality that is not even tolerated among the Gentiles. A man is sleeping with his father's wife, and you are arrogant. Shouldn't you be filled with grief and removed from your congregation, the one who did this? Even though I am absent in the body, I am present in spirit. As one who is present with you in this way, I have already pronounced judgment on the one who has been doing such a thing. When you are assembled in the name of our Lord Jesus, and I am with you in spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus, hand that person over to Satan. We're talking about the person sleeping with his daddy's wife. For destruction of the flesh, so that this spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little leaven leavens the whole batch of dough? Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new unleavened batch, as indeed you are. For Christ our Passover lamb has been sanctified. Therefore, let us observe the feast not with old leaven or with the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Don't play with God, and don't do stuff in the house of God that is wrong. God said, I'm giving him over to Satan. And what did he say? Sometimes he delivers his defiant people up to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved. 1 Corinthians 5 and 5. We don't want to have reprobated minds because we're doing wrong. Amos 6, 6 and 7. And it says, in 17th century France, a humble church leader named Philion wrote a letter of encouragement to believers who sought spiritual perspective during some discouraging trials, he said. Do not worry about the future. It makes no sense to worry. If God loves you and has taken care of you, however, when God blesses you, remember to keep your eyes on him and not the blessing. Enjoy your blessing day by day, just as the Israelites enjoy their manna, but do not try to store the blessing for the future. That is so true. Because understand, You're trying to store it for the future. God will put everything in your path, and you will wind up with nothing but the clothes on your back. Folks, ask, talk to some people. You will find out we got to do right and let God be in charge of everything. Don't get so caught up in how much money you got in the bank, how many shoes, pairs of shoes you got in your closet, how many designer this and that, and I'm driving this, and I got the new thing, the Teslas. I got a Tesla. I got a Rolls Royce. I got a Lamborghini. I got all this stuff. Again, you can't take it with you. You can't take it with you. All the stuff I got that I have no place to put, I can't take it with me. Not one thing. The only thing that can go with me is my soul. And the question is, what does your soul look like? Do you have a light or do you have a dark soul? Are you walking in light or are you walking in darkness? And as we continue in Amos 7:14, I was no prophet, nor was I a son of a prophet, but I was a sheep breeder and a tender of sycamore fruits. Regardless of who you are or what you do for a living, God wants to use you to bring the good news to those around you and ultimately to the whole world. If you love Christ, you are God's ambassador. God could care less about your past. God used Gomer and Hosea to make a point. God could care less about who you used to be. It's about who you are today. Amos, a sheep breeder. A sheep breeder. And a tender of sycamore fruit. Was called by God to prophesy right along with the Jeremiahs and the Daniels. Mostly Jeremiah, because Daniel was doing captivity. But Jeremiah didn't play. Cried and cried and cried to get these folks' attention. And he was of the right lineage. Breeder brought it and didn't play. And as we go into our psalm this morning, we're in Psalms 142. And it says a contemplation of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. Again, being chased like he's a fox doing a fox hunt. Being chased here, there, and everywhere. Somebody wanted to kill him. Why? Because I want to be king and God took my anointing. So I'm not going to let you be king because you were anointed. I'm not. I'm just not going to do it. That's like in certain churches where they change pastors. And the pastor saying, I'm not going. I'm not going. I don't care. You're not going. And so what they do, they split the church. They split the loyalty of the church. Because some go with the pastor who becomes rogue. And those that are right and righteous stay where they are because they are not pastor chasing. They are men and women of God. And they are there in their church to do the work that is required of them in their church. So it does not matter who the pastor is as long as God is in the building and God is in them. And that pastor is preaching a godly word. So David was running for his life from Saul. And he's in this cave and he's crying out to God. And he said, I cry out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord, I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me. Then you knew my path. In the way in which I walk, they have secretly set a snare for me. Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge. And that's our title this morning. I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. God is our refuge. And we must cry out to God when we're going through. When it's good, we still must cry out to God just to let him know how much we appreciate him, how much we appreciate our blessings, how much we appreciate just being awakened this morning. Lord, I thank you for waking me up this morning. And this is a literal thing. I thank God for waking me up this morning. Believe me, your host was asleep and sleeping real good. But God woke me up this morning. And I'm thankful that he gave me another day. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. How many of us have gone through this? On your job, in your life, where all you can do is cry out to God. Deliver me from persecutors. We all have been there. We all have had those folks that do dirt and get away with it. But God will always still bless you in the midst. Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. This is what Dr. Stanley says in this life lesson for Psalm 142, verse 7. Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise your name. Our souls get in prison in many ways. Sometimes we put ourselves there through sin. Sometimes enemies put us there. Sometimes we're just at the wrong place at the wrong time. But our God is a specialist at prison escape, just as Peter. Just ask Saul. Just ask, come on now. Paul and Silas, not Saul. Well, yeah, Saul was in prison of his own making. I'm a persecutor. I'm getting them Christians. I'm getting them believers. I'm going to kill them. I'm going to send them to prison. I'm going to get those folks. If they don't believe what I believe, so I'm going to get them. This upstart rabbi talking about he died and he rose again, huh? I'm going to get him. And what happened? He got God and wrote so very many other New Testament books because he got God on a Damascus road. And we want to be God by God, whatever our Damascus is. You want God to get you. You want to go into the light and fall on your knees and praise the Lord Jesus Christ. For he is our Redeemer. He is our strength and song. He is the Lord God in three persons. He is the Father. He is the Son. He is the Holy. He is our absolute. And as you go into this season, remember that Jesus is the reason. And as Kirk Franklin says, Santa Claus ain't got nothing on this. Jesus is the reason for the season. This is the last word for our Revelation for this morning, chapter 5 of Revelation. Please join me. And it says this, And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made our kings and princes to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessings and honor and glory and power. But to him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb forever and ever. Then the four living creatures said, amen. And the 22 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. And as we get to the life lessons from this revelation word, it says this in Revelation 5:5. Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed. Jesus prevails when no one else can. Buddha could not open the scroll. Socrates could not open the scroll. Confucius could not open the scroll. Only one person, the risen Son of God, could open the scroll. Jesus is unique and superior to all. As a lamb, he took our sins upon himself. But as a lion, he triumphs over all opposition. Therefore, we do not have to weep, for ultimate victory is assured. Hallelujah. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. You know, every time I read the word, I'm like, I wanted to say that. And he just says it for me. Thank you, Lord, for this mighty man of God who you allowed to write life lessons in your word to make it more understandable. Thank you, God. Please watch over Dr. Stanley and his family and his church over your people, God. Your true prophets, your true preacher teachers, oh God. Watch over our pastors. I ask you to watch over my pastor as she travels the highway and byways, doing what she's called to do, to be a mother to her child. and to be there for our child. Hallelujah. As you, Lord, to bless Pastor Paul as he holds it down, doing what needs to be done. Every time the doors of the church are open, he's there, working in his house, God's house. Called him to do, to be a carpenter, to be an administrator, to do all that he does for the kingdom. I ask your blessings over him as well. And Lord God, we ask you to bless everyone that walks through the doors of your house. Your house is a special house. Your house is a house not made by hand. And we have this building, oh God, and we ask you to bless it 100-fold, Lord God. But you know what each and every member needs, and you know the desire of their heart. And as we go into Revelation 5:9, it says, you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Is he just saying this certain person or this certain group? No. What did he say? You were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. So everyone has an opportunity for salvation. God does not play favorites. He searches for men and women, boys and girls, to redeem from every ethnic group, race and language, subculture, from throughout the world. He is truly the God of all the earth. You better preach, Dr. Stank. And as we go into Revelation 5:13, blessings and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Throughout the book of Revelations, we see the Son and the Father honored and worshiped side by side. We see this even with the titles, the Alpha and the Omega, can refer to the Father, see 1:8, and the Son, 22:13. Of Revelation, I'll go over here real quick to Revelation 1:8. Revelation 1:8, which is one of my highlightables. And it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And when we go back up to verse 7, it says, behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Whew. Make you want to shout. Make you want to holler, as the song says. This word of God is so powerful. And when we go to Revelation 22:13, and we know chapter 22 is the last chapter of the Bible. And when we go to verse 13, again, a highlightable. And it says that we're going to go back up to verse 12 and go to 14 to keep it in context. And it says, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Started with Alpha and Omega, chapter 1, ending with Alpha and Omega, chapter 22. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. Because we all got assignments. Are you doing yours? Are you criticizing somebody else for doing what they're called to do? Self-evaluation has to be done. And it goes on to say, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed, can y'all catch this? Verse 14. Blessed are those who do his commandments. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. And that is all we have this morning on this 15th day of December. 10 days left, y'all, till Christmas is celebrated, till Christ is celebrated. Why Christmas is even in existence, it is for Jesus. And whether you celebrate it or you don't, just remember that Jesus is the reason for the season. Don't forget the Christ in Christmas. It's not about a jolly old elf in a red suit. It is about the Savior. And we must remember, and we must continuously remind folks, don't go crazy for one day. Give all year round. Love all year round. Rejoice all year round that Jesus is our Savior, and he is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Holy One. He is Alpha, and he is Omega. I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge. Let us never forget who our refuge is. And it is the Lord our God. It is the Father. It is the Son. It is the Holy Spirit. Because they are one. Thank you, Father God, for this word this morning. And as always, before we get out of here, a word for us from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And the word this morning is this. Good morning. You cannot judge things by your senses, but by the word of God, not your feelings. Have a word of God Wednesday. And as usual, Sister Carolyn has wrapped it all up, put it in a bow, and put it where everybody can see it. You cannot judge things by your senses. Go by the word of God, not your feelings. Have a word of God Wednesday, family. That's all I have. If there's someone out there that has a word from God, then push the number 1 on your phone or call 213-943-3597, and your line will be open. But this has been a great word this morning. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, prophets. Thank you, prophetic men of God, Amos and John, David, Solomon, for the word. For God's word is true, and it's always the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And as we get back over to Proverbs 29:27, remember this, because again, today's word is, this word is a today word. An unjust man is an abomination to the righteous, and he who is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked. Folks get upset when you do what you're supposed to do. So don't worry about what he said, she said, woo-woo said. Boo-boo them down the street. Have no power over your life. Do what God tells you to do. Go where God tells you to go. Say what God tells you to say. And keep it moving forward. Because you move. Again, because in him, Father, we move, we live, and have our being. Never forget who brought you to the dance. Never forget who brought you to the table. Never forget the reason for the season. In his name I pray for you and yours, and I say, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. Again, in the name of the matchless Savior, the reason for this season, his name is Jesus Christ, and he is Messiah over us all, and he will be coming back. Just look up. Thank you so much, family. Be blessed and have a wonderful, wonderful day in the Lord, knowing that you are never, ever alone. He is always with you wherever you go. And you want to tell our kids, you better quit being behaving because God sees everything. And he is with us right now, watching your bad behavior. God is watching every one of us, and we are his children. And when we're not doing right, he is watching our bad behavior. And honestly, I don't want to get a spanking by God. So do what you're supposed to do. We all need to do what we are supposed to do. Thank you so much, family, and be blessed. It is a wrap. Have a great and wonderful day in the Lord, knowing that he's always there. It's a wrap.